Help us to be wise in our deliberations and fair in our actions, so that prosperity and happiness shall be the lot of our people. Amen. The Horsham Rural City Council acknowledges the five traditional owner groups of this land, the Wachabolic, Wagaya, Jupagulk, Jadwa and Jawajali people. We recognise the important and ongoing place that all Indigenous people hold in our community. We pay our respects to the elders, both past and present, and commit to working together in the spirit of mutual understanding and respect for the benefit of the broader community and future generations. Well, welcome councillors, staff and members of the public to our and the media to our council meeting tonight. My name is Councillor Mark Radford, the Mayor of the Horsham Rural City Council. I advise that tonight's council meeting will be recorded to maintain an audio archive, which will be available on the Horsham Rural City Council website as soon as possible. Please note that this meeting is being streamed live on the internet. Councillors participating in this meeting by electronic means will be taken to be present and part of the quorum for the meeting, provided that they can hear proceedings, that they can see and be seen by other members in attendance, and they are able to speak and be heard by those in attendance. I will now ask each councillor individually to confirm this. Councillor Clark, can you please confirm that you can see and hear other members in attendance and that you are able to speak?
Yes, Mr. Mayor.
Councillor Grimble.
Confirm all, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. Councillor Goulburn.
Yes, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. Councillor Koenig.
Confirm, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. Councillor Power.
Confirm, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. Councillor Robertson.
Confirm both, Mr. Mayor.
Good, thank you. Move to item four on tonight's agenda. Apologies. There are no apologies for tonight's meeting. Number five is leave of absence requests. Are there any requests for leave of absence? Number six is confirmation of the minutes of our previous meeting, which was held on the 24th of August, 2020. Would someone like to move that motion and read that motion for me, please?
So move, Mr. Mayor, that the minutes emanating from the council meeting of the Horsham Rural City Council held online, live streamed at 5:30 on the 24th of August 2020 be adopted.
Thank you. And so I'd like to second that, please. Seconded by Councillor Koenig. Put the motion. All those in favour? Against? That's carried. Thank you. Move now to item number seven, which is conflicts of interest. Are there any declarations of conflict of interest this evening? Thank you. Number eight, public question time. Public question time is allocated at the start of the meeting before the formal agenda by council. Questions must be submitted in writing to council by 5 p.m. on the Friday prior to the council meeting. Standing orders will be suspended for question time to allow more formal discussion to take place. Could someone please move that we suspend standing orders at 5:35? Moved by Councillor Power. Seconded by Councillor Goulburn. All those in favour? Against? That's carried. Thank you, Councillor Power. And seconded by Councillor Koenig. All those in favour? Against? That's carried. Thank you. Move now to offers reports number nine. So I remind the councillors, if you could keep yourself on mute unless you're going to speak. I'd also request that the mover of the motion read their motion, and also noting we're under the new governance rules tonight, so if there's no one opposed and no speakers, we'll go straight to the vote. Okay.
Mr. Mayor, I'm happy to move the recommendation be received.
I'll just hang on a sec, Mr. Councillor Robinson. I haven't got there yet. Okay, officers' reports 9.1, rescheduling of statutory and November council meetings. All right, Councillor Robertson.
Sorry, Mr. Mayor, I'm one section ahead. I'll withdraw my comment.
Mr. Mayor, I'm happy to move that recommendation.
Could you read it for me, please, Councillor Goulburn?
No worries. The recommendation is that Council reschedule the statutory Council meeting to the 19th of November 2020 and the following Council meeting to the 30th of November 2020.
Thank you. Someone like to second that, please? Seconded by Councillor Clark. Is the motion opposed? Does any Council wish to speak on the motion? Councillor Grimble. Okay, so the fact that you have someone just explain what's happening. So if someone is opposed to the motion or wishes to speak, then we go back up the chain and the mover gets to speak as we normally would, seconder and so forth. So Councillor Goulburn, you're asking a question, Councillor Grimble.
Yes, I do have a question. I'm not necessarily going to enter the debate, but I have a question in relation to the report.
Yeah, sure. Okay. You'd like to ask a question?
Okay. Happy with the question now?
Yeah. Yes, please.
Okay, it says in the summary of the report that that the declarations will be declared on the 13th of November or later. I'm not quite sure what later means, and later would have an impact on the ability to go through and hold the statutory meeting. So is it likely to be the 13th or is it likely to be later? That's not completely clear to me.
Mr. Bella?
Yeah, to you, Mr. Mayor. Yes, it's most likely it'll be by the 13th. So my understanding is that they'll start announcing the results between the first after the first week, and they should wrap it up by 13th of November. So there shouldn't be any issues. That's my understanding.
Okay. The other question I have is, and I've just noted that the 13th is actually a Friday, and the statutory meeting would be on the following Thursday.
That's
correct. So you've got a weekend over that period between the formal declaration and the statutory meeting. Is that that's as I've had a quick look at the calendar. I think that's right.
That's correct. Yeah.
Yeah, no, that's fine. That's the only question I had, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. Okay. Does any council wish to speak to the motion? I'll put the motion. All those in favour? Against? That's carried. Thank you. Okay, move now to item 9.2, the election period policy 2020. The purpose of this report is to adopt the revised council election period policy, and there's a recommendation to do just that.
Some questions, Mr. Mayor?
Certainly, Councillor Robertson.
Mr. Mayor, in the summary, it's indicated that Council adopted its election period policy on the 28th of October 2019. In fact, we adopted this policy at our last meeting on the 24th of October, and we've just, of August, and we've just ratified the minutes of that meeting, which actually contained the current election period policy.
Mr. Harrison, did you want to comment on that, please?
Councillor Robinson is both correct and not correct in that we did actually adopt the policy as required under the Local Government Act. It had to be done within 12 months of the election. So we did that originally back in 28th of October 2019. Then it became, under the new Local Government Act 2020, the election period policy became a appendancy or became a part of the governance rules. So in fact, we did adopt it originally back in October 19, and then it was part of the governance rules which were adopted on the, whatever the date of that last meeting was.
Now my point, Mr. Mayor, is that on the 24th of August this year, last meeting, we did adopt the election period policy. And that's what stands, and we've just confirmed that in the minutes of the last meeting. And I might add, Mr. Mayor, it appears to me to cover all the bases required in by Section 69 of the current Act, so no change there. But the fact is, Mr. Mayor, we went to the community and got their opinion, and we then moved a motion and adopted the policy. So if we were to change that, we would have to go back to the community. and changed it in any substantial way.
So your question, Councillor Robertson?
Well, Mr. Mayor, I'm just making the point that we've already adopted this last month, so we can't, unless you can tell me how, go back to it and adopt another version that we haven't consulted the community with. So, Mr. Mayor, my question is, from a governance perspective, how do we actually do that? And if there's not a legal means of doing it, it would be abysmal governance to change our governance rules there, consulting the community.
Can I, Mr. Bower? If I can respond to it through you, Mr. Mayor. So the changes, councillors, as you can see from the in the appendices, you know, they are tracked. So they are mainly in relation to the new Act. So what's obviously happened, you know, between when we adopted the policy in 2019 and now the new Act has come into place. So the changes are updating the references to the new Act. So they're not actually in any way or form impacting on the intent of the policy. The intent of the policy is pretty much intact. So I don't think there's any issue, Mr. Mayor.
Mr. Harrison, did you
want to comment? Sorry, Mr. Mayor, but Mr. Bower's answer doesn't cover what I'm talking
about. Councillor Robertson, I'm just giving Mr. Harrison an opportunity to comment as well, since his report.
Thank you.
All right, Mr. Harrison.
Through you, Mr. Mayor. We have sought advice on this matter and have been advised by that LGV require the references to be to the new Local Government Act and are happy that we amend it accordingly.
Okay. Well, thank you.
Mr. Mayor, that still doesn't answer the position, given that if it's substantially not changed, why don't we leave the wording the same and then just change the Act reference to the section and the 2020 Act, but leave the language that we've gone to the community with intact, because it is at variance. There's perhaps, Mr. Mayor, if I can offer a solution.
Well, there is a recommendation before us, right? And so, do you have a motion, Councillor Robertson?
Well, Mr. Mayor, the questions I've asked have not been answered, but I'm offering a solution in that if we include the definition of the word prohibited decision, which is a new term that's not actually in the new Act. Prohibited decisions are referred to, but there is no definition of the prohibited decision. I'm happy to move a motion that would include we accept this election period policy, but we, in section 7 definitions, include the definition of a prohibited decision or prohibited action, because action is also mentioned in our current document that we've gone to the community with only in the last couple of months. You're happy with
that? Okay, so just... So what we need to do is, I'm happy to accept the motion. So, and Fiona's sitting next to me in the room with us, so she's going to write it down for clarity. And if you want to move that motion and someone seconds it, we'll be off and running. Okay.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Do you want me to read the recommendation first?
No, wait till I finish speaking, please. But I would say that your questions have been answered. You said they haven't been answered, but they have been answered. But the fact that you disagree with the answers, that's okay. But the point is that the questions tonight have been answered. So I'm happy for you to move a motion, and then we can start the debate, and then you can tell us a little bit about more along your lines of thinking. But we'll just need a motion.
Yeah, just before I do that, correcting what you said, Mr. Barlow's answer did not encompass the recent amendments we made. He referred back to the last year's version of the off the document. But Mr. Mayor, I'm happy to move that we accept the election period policy and that we insert the following definition in section 7, which is the definitions section.
Okay, I'm just going to pause you there, Councillor Robertson. So the wording is tonight that we adopt, not accept. The wording is that we adopt the revised council election period policy. And if you want to add something to that, that's fine. But the adopt is an important word.
Yeah, okay. I'm happy to move that we adopt the revised Policy 2020.
Good.
The insertion of a definition of prohibited decision or prohibited action.
Yeah.
Ms. Kelly's ready.
Very hard to hear you, Councillor Robinson. Not sure where your microphone is, but we're having trouble hearing you.
Yes. Is that a bit better?
Yes.
Thank you. So in section 7 of the document under definitions, definition of a prohibited decision or prohibited action is a decision or action whenever made by the current council that binds the incoming council and limits its freedom of action.
Just going to check
on that again.
Just hang on a second. Hang on. Yeah. Right. Yes, Councillor Robertson.
So do you want me to read that again?
If you could read the whole thing, that'd be good. Slowly, please. Thank you.
Yes. Insertion into the Section 7 definitions, and the heading would be a prohibited decision or prohibited action. And it reads, a prohibited decision or prohibited action is a decision or action when made by the current council that binds the incoming council and limits its freedom of action. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. Did you get all that, Fiona? Okay. Would someone like to second? Sorry, moved by Councillor Robertson. Would someone like to second that, please?
So second, Mr. Mayor.
Second by Councillor Grimble. Okay. Does any council wish to speak to the motion? Anyone opposed to the motion? Okay, Councillor Robertson, the floor is yours.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. If you go back to our policy that we went to the community with only just recently, and the decisions we made at the last council meeting, what we put to the community was that the policy was a framework for the conduct of council business during the 2020 general election period. It establishes a series of caretaker practices which aim to ensure that major decisions and actions of the current council do not bind the incoming council and limit its freedoms of action, and also ensures the use of council resources and information throughout the election period is in accordance with the caretaker provisions. Under section 4.1.2, last month we approved, in accordance with the requirements under the Local Government Act, without specifying which version, council is mindful that it should not make major policy decisions during the election caretaker period, which would not, in the normal course of business, be reversible by a future council. And Mr. Mayor, we've made a number of references to that along our journey with this. In the introduction of the same document, we talk about minimising decisions that may unduly limit the decision-making ability of the incoming council. Mr. Mayor, councillors, it's our duty to do what we can to support the incoming council, not hinder the incoming council. So the responsibility on us is not to burden them, to let them take whatever course of action they need to in relation to whatever issues they're dealing with. So, Mr. Mayor, by including that definition under Section 7 of what a prohibited decision or prohibited action is one way of being able to hold our head up high and say, we do say to the community, we've done what we actually consulted you on and what you were happy with. And Mr. Mayor, I believe unless we do that, we would have to go back to the community and reconsult, because what is proposed is different to what we agreed on a month ago. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. Councillor Grimble.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I'm happy to support this document, which is important to have, as we all realise, to have a policy in place, with Councillor Robinson's wordsmithing in the definition. Mr. Mayor, it's interesting what a fortnight makes with a document like this. If you recall, in the minutes confirmed, and indeed a fortnight ago, I opposed the element of the government rules because there was some terminology here which related to entrepreneurial ventures. And during the debate, Mr. Mayor, indeed, it was brought to my attention that that was very poor governance. And I find now that we're indeed seeing another report that actually pulls out that reference to entrepreneurial ventures. So again, it's important that this is the opportunity in a structured formal meeting of council, that it's quite okay to word chop, and indeed make sure the document is accurate and according to the way we see it. Councillor Robinson has picked up some things which I believe are important. They shouldn't be dismissed. And indeed, like the comments that I made, that ultimately or effectively are a part of the officer's report, which highlights here that note the changes also remove the reference to entrepreneurial ventures, which was discussed at the 24th August council meeting. In actual fact, it wasn't discussed. It was only mentioned by myself as part of my debate. And the reason why I voted against it, Mr. Mayor, I'm happy to support this document with the wordsmithing from Councillor Robinson. And I encourage all councillors not to be scaremongered into any comment that this might be poor governance or something to the contrary. It's actually part of good governance, and make sure we get this document right. So I encourage all to support it, and I'd be disappointed if I hear again the line around poor governance, because again, a difference of a fortnight is quite amazing.
Yeah. Mr. Harrison, as author of the report, do you have any comments about the proposed amendment?
No, Mr. Mayor, I don't think it changes the intent of it. If it clarifies issues for council, then that should be fine.
Thank you.
Mr. Mayor, I do have one question, if I can, to Mr. Harrison.
Yep.
The only reservation I have is the inconsistency with this document now in its wording with the governance rules. Do you have a comment about that?
Through you, Mr. Mayor, we've noted in the report that the revised election period policy can be just administratively replaced as part of the governance rules.
So my question was, is it okay to have some inconsistency with the wording of the document?
I'm not sure what inconsistency you're referring to, Councillor Grimble, in terms of the rest of the governance rules. I can't answer that, but...
Mr. Mayor, I'm only alluding to the part of the election policy, which whether this motion from Councillor Robinson is supported, or indeed the recommendation supported, it is inconsistent with the previous part of the governance rules which we adopted a fortnight ago. That's my question.
So I would say Mr. Harrison's answered that there's no issues with what Councillor Robinson's proposed. Is that correct, Mr. Harrison?
Yes, that's what I'm saying. Essentially, it's just adding in prohibitive actions. At the end of the day, that's fine.
Thank you. Speakers against the motion? Any other speaker? Councillor Clark, sorry.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Look, I'm not so much against the actual changing. It's just frustrating when we go through so much consultation, take it out to the community, come back, we change to accommodate some of the comments from the community, then we get in a council meeting and it's changed again. It's just the principle of changing documents and wordsmithing in a council meeting when the document should be finite, should be concluded, should be right when it comes to a council meeting. It's just the principle of the issue. And yeah, I will say it's bad governance. Again, Councillor Grimble, it's the way I see it, that we should be consulting, finalising the document and bringing it to council as a finite document. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Point of order, Mr. Mayor.
Any other speakers?
Sorry, point of order, Mr. Mayor. Councillor Clark's actually taking us back to the document that the
Councillor Robertson, what's your point of order?
Well, the point of order, Mr. Mayor, is we have a document we just ratified, and Councillor Clark is now taking us back to that document.
Yes. So, Councillor Robertson, if you disagree with what Councillor Clark said, you'll have that opportunity when you do your right of reply. Okay? Thank you. Any other speakers for the motion? Councillor Golden.
Sorry, Mr. Mayor, I've just got a question to ask. Can the motion just be repeated, please, with clarity?
Sure. Perhaps rather than me try to read it, if Councillor Robertson could read it again, please.
Yes, certainly, Mr. Mayor, that section 7 of the document under definitions, and there are other definitions there, that we insert the following definition: a prohibited decision or prohibited action is a decision or action, whenever made, by the current council that binds the incoming council and limits its freedom of action.
Well, thank you. Councillor Galvin, did you wish to speak at all?
A further question, just to make sure I've got this absolutely perfect. So the recommendation is going to read exactly that, as what Councillor Robinson has said.
I'll get Fiona to read what she's talked, mate. So there's no confusion.
That Council adopt the Council Election Period Policy 2020 and include in Section 7 definitions the definition of prohibited decision or prohibited action is a decision or action whenever made by the current Council that binds the incoming Council and limits its freedom of action.
Thank you.
Excellent. Thank you very much.
So did you wish to speak for or against? Right. Any other speakers for? Councillor Koenig.
Thanks, Mr. Mayor. I'll speak quickly for it. I'm hearing the conversation, the debate. The expansion of the recommendation, from what I'm understanding, isn't making a whole lot of difference, just apart from some clarifying comments. So I'll continue on my four-year streak of not being scaremongered into a vote, and I'll support the recommendation.
Thank you. Any other speakers against the motion? Any other speakers? I'll put the motion. All those in favour? Against? That's carried. Thank you. Oh, sorry, Councillor Robertson, you had the right of reply.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I'm happy with the outcome.
Yeah. Thank you. I always forget that. Sunil, I always forget that. Okay, thank you. We'll move on. 9.3. Okay, councillors, 9.3, development and subdivision at 9 Homers Court, Horsham. I wish to advise that planning application PA200013 has been withdrawn by the applicant. Would someone like to move, please, that council note planning application number PA200013 has been withdrawn by the applicant? Could someone move that, please? Moved by Councillor Koenig. Seconded, please. Councillor Clark, I'll put the motion. All those in favour? Against, that's carried. And when we get to the petition a little bit later on, that will apply as well. Thank you. Move now to item 9.4, the concept plan for the Riverfront Activation Precinct Stage 1 of the City to River Master Plan. The purpose of this report is to receive and note the recommendations from the Community Reference Group, CRG, and endorse the concept plan for the Riverfront Precinct Stage 1 of the City to River Master Plan. Councillors, there's a 5-part recommendation there, and I'd appreciate if the mover would like to read it, please. Okay, I'm happy to move it. The Council, number one, receive and note the recommendation from the Community Reference Group. The Community Reference Group said, the CRG have seen and discussed the plans and draft budget and move to put it before the council on 21 September based on priorities of the community engagement. Number two, note the outcomes of the community sentiment captured in the community engagement report, which is attached as Appendix 9.4A. Number three, endorse the concept plan presented for Stage 1 Riverfront Activation attached as Appendix 9.4B. Number four, endorse the prioritisation and costs of the scope of works for the first phase of the Riverfront Precinct development as proposed by the Community Reference Group attached as Appendix 9.4C. And five, continue to seek opportunities to achieve all of the components of the concept plan as presented to the community and supported by the community reference group. So moved by me, would someone like to second that? Councillor Clark, thank you. First of all, I have to ask the question, is anyone opposed to the yeah, thank you, in which case we go through the normal procedure. The first thing I'd like to say as part of my debate, can you start the timer, please, Mr. Bella, is I just want to thank you publicly, thank the community reference group members for their work, particularly all the different organisations that have been involved and the community members, the representatives, and also the council staff has been working with them for so long. Pulling all this together, it has been incredibly difficult under the COVID-19 restrictions to be able to do this work. So the fact that the group was able to meet together and then work on the plans together, then go through a whole process of community consultation, they are to be commended. I just want to thank you all for the work you've done. And that is the theme of my moving this tonight, is in respect for your work. And I just want to say thank you very much. It was interesting reading the business case for the proposal for the new facility in Bailey Street, the multi-storey project, which is out for public comment at the moment. It includes a business case which talks about visitation to Horsham. And I can't get past a little graph which tells us that the overnight visitors to Horsham since 2012 have over doubled, more than doubled. And in 2012, there was just over 100,000 visitors, overnight visitors to Horsham, domestic. And in 2019, there was 219,000. And I'm sure we've all heard that message, oh, no one comes to Horsham. Well, people are coming to Horsham and visiting us here and staying with us here. That doesn't include the overseas visitors. So I think that's a great backdrop to this work that's being done by our community reference group on our Wimmera River. The fact that people are coming to Horsham and enjoying their holidays here. And as a council, as a community, we need to keep improving and keeping up with this changing space. The second thing I wanted to mention is what's included tonight is a priority list. Okay, we're not awarding any contracts but we're agreeing with the concept plan and the priority list that the CRG have provided for us, which lists those things in their view and the community's view after feedback, which should happen and in the order that they should happen, which includes the proposed site for both the water park and the cafe. But the cafe site also includes the services provision for that structure. So, councillors, I'm happy to support what's proposed tonight in respect to the group, the CRG group, for their work. And I will say that the process has been followed with the setting up of the community reference group for this precinct will be replicated as we also move into Precinct 2, which is the Sawyer Park City Oval, and other precincts as we go through the process. So I'm happy to support tonight's series of recommendations, that we receive a note, that we note, endorse, and also continue to seek. The last one is really important, that we continue to seek opportunities working with our both levels of government, the federal and the state government, to help us fund these things. Happy to support it tonight, and I would encourage you all to do the same. Thank you.
Mr. Mayor, can I request that these five dot points be debated individually, please?
No, I've moved them as a group, and we'll be debating them as a group. That's what I've moved. I've moved one motion, Councillor.
Mr. Mayor, I'd like to move an amendment to your motion, please.
Yeah.
I'd like to move that the recommendation as moved by yourself be debated individually, please.
Okay. Someone like to second that? Councillor Robertson. Councillor Grimble.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Sorry, I had to ask some questions. Is anyone opposed to doing that? Yeah, okay. Thank you, Councillor Grimble. Yeah, thank you, David.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Mayor. I think it's important that there's some key elements of the recommendation which are relatively straightforward, that being dot point number one and dot point number two, dot point number three, dot point number four, dot point number five. I believe have some more binding elements to it, and I believe that we should deal with the recommendation and split it up. We've been, as I have drawn to Council's attention before, Mr. Mayor, that in our last November meeting, when we supposedly endorsed City to River, there was a suite of recommendations all bundled up in one report, and there was not an opportunity to debate that recommendation individually. You yourself said to me, well, no one actually moved any formality or process to do that individually. So that's what I'd like to do, is to particularly flesh out dot point number three, dot point number four, and dot point number five, as you have moved, and debate in particular those three items as a block or individually. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor Grimble. We're just confirming that the legal process here, right? I've already had a mover and a seconder for the whole thing, right? And we're just trying to clarify if you can split it up now. It's okay to split up before, in which case we would have moved and seconded each one, right? But I'm not sure that we can debate each one. So what we can do is...
Mr. Mayor, what I'm asking for you to do is something that is not... It's not extra unordinary, given the fact that we're on a different format. By the time I hit the ability to speak, the seconder is already put in place. So I'm asking you to show some capacity in your chairmanship to allow me to facilitate an appropriate debate on the recommendations in the way that I see fit. If you choose to provide some advice that's contrary to that, well, that's disappointing, but it's your call, Mr. Mayor.
Okay, so what I'm suggesting, what we can do, right, is treat it as one, which has been, it's been moved as one and it's been seconded as one, right? And what we can do is allow extra speaking time for each councillor to address their issues for each dot point, right? But the time for splitting it up is before it's moved, right? That's the way I interpret it. I can't see how you can legally, right, divide it up now unless we go all the way back, and that means I will move. I'll have to move five different motions. I've moved the block, right? I created an opportunity for anybody to move the recommendation. There was silence, so I have then moved the block. Councillor Clark has seconded the block. I have spoken to the block, addressing each one of those dot points. And now I'm inviting other councillors to address one or none or all of those dot points. What I can do within our meeting procedure is to allow for extra speaking time. And so I'm happy to do that. And that may assist councillors having the fuller opportunity to express their point of view. All right? That's based on the advice. That's based on the advice that I've just received. Okay.
Question, Mr. Mayor.
Yep.
Mr. Mayor, could I have Mr. Harrison read out the exact section of the meeting procedure, because it doesn't accord with my memory of it? I'd like to hear the actual words read, please.
Yeah.
I support what Councillor Grimble says, and yeah. I don't think you're right, but I'd be happy to have word for word read out of our meeting procedure.
Okay, thank you. Mr. Harrison, could you find a bit about splitting motions, please?
Through you, Mr. Mayor, I actually don't have it open in front of me this minute, so I will have to go and find it and open it and
Okay, so we'll suspend standing orders, please. Moved by Councillor Golvin, seconded by Councillor Clark. All those in favour? Against, that's carried. We'll Councillor Golvin. Thank you. And seconded by Councillor Power. That's good. All those in favour? Against, that's carried. Mr Harrison, could you tell us what you've got there, please?
Yes, through you, Mr Mayor. Section 34 refers to the separation of motions, which states where a motion contains more than one part, a councillor may request the chair to put the motion to the vote in separate parts. So that is referring to prior to the motion being put. In relation to an amendment, section 28.1 states that subject to sub-rule 28.2, a motion which has been moved and seconded may be amended by leaving out or adding words. Any added words must be relevant to the subject of the motion. And 28.2 refers to a motion to confirm a previous resolution of council cannot be amended.
All right, thank you. So I go back to what I said before. It was moved. I've moved a block of five different points to the recommendation, and Councillor Clark seconded that. Then I've spoken to the whole group of them, the 1 to 5. There is an opportunity when the motion is put that that five votes are taken, if you like. If that makes sense, on each one of those. But as far as the speaking backwards and forwards, you're basically speaking to what I moved, right? That's the way I understand it to be, and I think Mr. Harrison is supporting that, Councillor Grimble. So, but what I can do, I'm picking up what you're saying.
Mr. Mayor, point of order, if I can.
Yeah.
My understanding from Mr. Harrison's explanation is indeed that yourself as the chair can put up each individual recommendation that you moved individually. That's all I'm seeking to do in the first instance. And I believe that on the explanation from Mr. Harrison, you as the chair can actually do that. It's not that difficult to put up your recommendation in 5 dot points and deliberate on that. I understand that's what Mr. Harrison actually said.
Aiding, Mr. Mayor, it's not a point of order.
Yeah,
it is a point of order, Councillor Clark. It's okay, I'm seeking clarity on indeed what I'm asking you to do.
Right, so I go back to what I said before, Councillor Grimble. If I was to say 9.4 concept plan for the river, there's 5 debt recommendations before you. There's an opportunity for someone, the mayor included or the chair included, to say that we'll deal with these one at a time, right? Or a councillor can also request, can we please deal with these one at a time? There's an opportunity to do that. Well, I can think of many examples that we've done that, right? That didn't happen. No one moved anything. So I then moved the block 1 to 5 as one thing.
Right? Mr. Mayor, I'd like to move a motion of dissent, please.
Yep. Okay. Councillor Grimble, the floor is yours.
I'd like to move motion of dissent, Mr. Mayor, in your ruling.
Yep, okay. So you can do that, Councillor Grimble.
So we have Mr. Mayor, I believe I need a seconder to do that. I'm not sure whether I do or not, but I believe I need a seconder.
Okay, so can you say exactly what you're doing for benefit of Fiona, please?
I'm moving a motion of dissent, Mr. Mayor. I'm not happy with the explanation you provided me that you can't simplistically split the recommendation as you've moved. I'm entitled to move a motion of dissent along those lines.
Yeah, you are? Yeah. Okay. Seconder for Councillor Grimble's motion of dissent. Councillor Robinson, thank you. So, what happens now?
So, through you, under our governance rules.
Okay, through you, Mr. Mayor. So, under our governance rule, when there is a
motion of dissent against the chair, which has been seconded. You have to vacate the chair, and we have to elect a temporary chair to consider the motion of dissent. So we have to elect a temporary chair. So perhaps you can ask for a nomination for a temporary chair.
Yep. Nominations for a temporary chair. I nominate Councillor Clark. Do I get a seconder for that? Yes, please. Yeah. All right. Seconded by Councillor Power. All right. All those in favour? Against, that's carried. Councillor Clark, you're the temporary chair, please.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Okay, Councillor Grimble.
Thank you, Mr. Acting Chair, Councillor Clark. What I'm attempting to do, or what I'd like to do, is to debate the five dot points that have been moved in a way that allows me to support or not support part of that recommendation. It's my right to create that opportunity for me to do that. It seems that it's been overcomplicated by having to suspend standard orders, which is really quite a simplistic thing. And can I say that my motion of dissent is purely around the fact that I find that our mayor moving the motion has restricted his ability to independently and unpartially chair this meeting and indeed address what is a very simplistic request from a councillor. As I have stated before, well, I saw the similar scenario when we supposedly adopted the City to River, where a suite of recommendations was all bundled in together. So I don't support your ruling, Mr. Mayor, hence the notice of dissent. I'd ask that councillors support the motion of dissent, which would purely and formally allow the five dot points to be debated individually, which is my original request.
Thank you, Mr. Councillor Grimble. Councillor Robinson? You're on mute, Councillor.
Councillor Clark, the seconder doesn't get an opportunity to speak.
Okay.
So what I suggest you do now is that you put the dissent, so you put it to vote, and you can say that the chair's ruling be dissented from. So Councillor Grimble has moved a motion of dissent. So you put it to vote and test it with the other councillors whether it's supported or it's not supported.
Okay.
So you put Councillor Grimble's motion of dissent to vote.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Bala. Okay, I put the motion of dissent. All those in favour? Against? The dissent motion is lost, Councillor.
Madam Acting Chair, can I call for a division, please?
Thank you. All those for the motion of dissent? Councillor Grimble, Councillor Robinson. All those against the motion of dissent? Councillor Clark, Councillor Power, Councillor Koenig, Councillor Golvin. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Clark. And Mr. Mayor, you can now resume the chair.
Can I ask you to call out the voting again, please, Councillor Clark?
I read it once. Do you want me to call it out again?
I'd like to hear it again, please, if you wouldn't mind.
Okay. Thank you, Councillor Grimble. Those for the motion of dissent was Councillor Grimble, Councillor Robinson. Those against the motion of dissent was Councillor Clark, Councillor Power, Councillor Koenig and Councillor Golvin. Thank you. Mr. Mayor,
A point of clarification, I note that Councillor Radford did not vote.
No, he steps aside.
He still gets to vote on a motion of dissent, so that non-vote needs to be recorded, Madam Acting Chair.
Well, we can check that, Mr. Mayor, whether it needs to be recorded, but clearly the motion of dissent has been lost, so you can assume the chair so that the proceedings can continue.
Just a point of order, the rationale behind calling a division is to record the vote according to how it was taken, and it's important to me to understand the councillors that supported or didn't support it. including those that chose not to vote. So I'd like some clarification around what actually happens to Councillor Radford's vote since he abstained from voting.
Thank you, Mr. Barla.
Are you voting against the motion of dissent, Mr. Mayor?
Well, I don't believe that I should be doing either because it's against me.
Well, that's what I suggested. Now we can check it out. And clearly,
It was your
determination, you know, which was dissented upon. So clearly, if there is a need for us to record it in the minutes, you know, we'll check that and we'll do it accordingly. Oh, but I don't think there's any need at this stage. So.
Point of order, Mr. Mayor. Sorry, Madam Chair. Point of order, Madam Acting Chair.
Am I still acting chair?
No, the mayor has already resumed the chair, the councillor Clark.
Yeah.
Okay, point of order, Mr. Mayor.
Well, what's your point of order, Councillor Robinson?
Yes, the meeting rules, I understand, do provide for how your vote is recorded. I'd perhaps suggest to Mr. Bauer check the reference. Under the new meeting rules, a failure to vote, don't take my word for it, a failure to vote produces a particular outcome.
Mr. Mayor, I'd like to move that we implement the standing order.
Say it again, please, Councillor Goulburn.
I'd like to make sure that what's been said is accurate and if we can just step back for a bit.
Okay, we'll suspend standing orders again. Moved by Councillor Goulburn. Thank you. Seconded by Councillor Koenig. Thank you. All those in favour? Against? That's carried. Good. And seconded by Councillor Koenig. Good. All those in favour? Against? That's carried. Okay, so moving along. So what's happening now? I've moved the five dot points as a block. I've spoken to it as a block, and I'm going to invite the seconder to speak shortly, and then others can speak for or against. There's an opportunity to extend the speaking time if we have to. And the final thing I'm happy to do tonight is to have a vote for each one separately. There's five dot points, and we'll vote for each one separately.
Okay. Mr. Mayor, I do need some clarification in relation to the motion by Councillor Goulburn to suspend standing orders. And I understand that was on the rationale to get some clarity on the way forward, particularly on the comments that I was asking. And you haven't actually mentioned those since we've come back into the council. So do you have an open comment around the reason why we suspended standing orders?
Yep, so I could confer with Mr. Buller about moving forward. And that's what I've done. And we're about to hopefully move forward. Okay, that's, are you happy with that? Right, we'll keep moving. Okay, so I've spoken. Councillor Clark, you're seconded my motion.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. This was a mammoth task to get to this point. pardon me, I'd like to congratulate Sue Newell and Carolyn Harndorf, especially for the absolutely enormous job they did with the community consultation. This whole project had sort of four parameters that it really honed in on, and that's what the community wanted, and that was to retain the natural environment of the river and amenity and connectivity between what's already around there and how that's going to all link in. Broader community access to make it very accessible for all of the community. And one of my real passions is to tell the story of our Indigenous community, the Indigenous stories. This river is quite sacred to our Indigenous community. And to be able to use that and to educate our children, our grandchildren and generations to come of the amazing story that is along our Wimmera River. So I'm really thrilled that all these elements have been part of this very extensive community consultation, and to get to this point, 32 community groups were consulted, online webinars for 1,500 people plus views of those webinars, social media, 18 Facebook posts with 5,200 engagements. The draft concept plan was viewed over 900 times. There was radio, television, there was radio and newspaper articles and showing the whole plan. There were six small groups online with information seminars. The plans were displayed both at the Angling Club and at 43 Firebrae Street. And there were 70 formal feedback forms done, with 4 out of 5, 81% approving and very positive about this. This is one of the biggest consultation projects we've ever undertaken as a council. And I congratulate everyone involved, all those that made themselves available to consult with this group, with our team. I commend the community reference group for the hours and hours that they put in, the debate, the discussion, looking at all of the comments from the community and coming up with this really valuable plan for our community moving forward. I think to not vote for this would be disrespectful to all the people involved and the community group that have put so much work into this and have come up with this final plan. So I support this wholeheartedly and just thank everyone involved. There's been so many people involved in this. There's so many people want to see the river developed and become what it already is, but in a greater sense, an icon for this community to be used. I sat down, had lunch last week on the river and just watched the families going past with kids on bikes and dogs. And it is just the most beautiful environment for all of our community, and to enhance it and make it better for our community. That's what this is all about. So I commend this recommendation. Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I recommend this to the councillors. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Clark. Speakers against the recommendations. Are there any? Councillor Grimble, I think you'll just be first. Councillor Grimble.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Before I speak, I do have a question, and it's probably directed to maybe Mr. Martin or the CEO. And I know that you're aware of the question I'm going to ask Mr. Mayor, and I'm not sure that you've actually posed the question to the officers, but it was brought to my attention the proposed sighting of the services to the cafe is in the same location where there's significant water filtration plant, which, as the councillors may or may not be aware, is certainly a strategic and elaborate watering system, which was put in place to drought-proof the city and pushing water into Watonga Basin up to the Botanical Gardens. Sorry, from pushing water from the Watonga Basin up to the Botanical Gardens to the pool at the riverfront. So what is proposed with that significant drought-proof strategic infrastructure that now is in place where the site of the cafe might be? Has there been some consideration around that asset?
Well, I'll take that question for Mr. Martin. Mr. Martin.
Thanks, Mr. Mayor. It is clearly recognised the importance of the water system that feeds water from the river and from Watonga Basin, which is harvested stormwater. And part of the detailed design process will be to put in place a watering system that can manage the requirements of the existing and the new demand. So that's certainly being considered as an integral part of the next stage of works.
Thank you.
So supplementary question. So on the reply from Mr. Martin, am I assuming that the funds available will pick up some of that cost, or what's the cost to indeed shift some of that infrastructure?
Mr.
Mayor. We don't have a costing for it yet, Mr. Mayor.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Look, I'm happy to support receive and note the recommendations from the community reference group, and I appreciate the work they've done. My mind's telling me, Mr. Mayor, that given the fact that we're literally hours within a caretaker period, that this decision should rest with the new council, and they should have the capacity to review and make a resolution around that. Mr. Mayor, can I can recall that other significant strategic and significant projects have been done that way, and I could probably fairly accuse the council of calling a special meeting and actually belting this through at the 23rd hour, because that's effectively what you're doing, Mr. Mayor. Yourself as the mover, you've clearly come out and indicated your intentions not to nominate, yet you're happy to commit this council, which should fall with the new council, committing funds of $2.88 million. I think some of the aspects of the City to River is quite good, and I've said that all along. I do have some questions and reservations around our governance and process issue that really has never been fully, completely answered. I did move a motion that we do an audit on this process. That was rejected and defeated. On your discussion, Mr. Mayor, you requested that an audit be conducted. What I've seen and what the committee would like to see is an audit that is transparent and they can actually get to cite that. Instead, we did a process review, Mr. Mayor, which is something very, very different and not to the details on. Mr. Mayor, fundamentally, there's lots of elements that I'm happy to support. The fact that you put it up in a block the way that you have done, I believe that there's a impact on your independent ability to chair this meeting. So on that basis, I do not support the recommendation, but I believe that this council should allow the new council to make that decision. If they choose to do so, they should review the document and we should allow that to happen. I don't support belting decisions through because that's effectively what you are doing. Literally within hours of the new council and us going in a caretaker. We've just spoken about governance of the highest order, Mr. Mayor. This does not pass the litmus test in my mind. And for yourself as the Mayor to move a motion, knowing full well that you are not going to nominate and commit $800,000 to a project, I think stands to be questioned, Mr. Mayor. But again, I do reiterate there are some good parts of the City of River, and I acknowledge that the City to River, in particular the river environment, is a place that many people do enjoy. And my understanding and my take on what I've heard over the journey is they do not want to see it overdeveloped. I asked the question about the water infrastructure, and I don't know now what the costing will be. But I've been informed
by the Technical
Services Director that the cost to replace that will be significant.
Councillor Grimble, stop, please. Right. We're going to have to seek an extension of time. I'll move it. Seconded by Councillor Robertson. Thank you. All those in favour? Against? That's carried. Thank you, Councillor Grimble. You have 3 more minutes, please.
I think I've finished what I wanted to say, Mr. Mayor, but I would have liked to have seen some detail around what it might cost to shift the water infrastructure. It was only brought to the attention of myself recently, and I know, Mr. Mayor, that you were asked the same question. I'm not sure whether you've asked the question. You are aware of the asset that sits at the end of Bailey Street. We've now been told we do not know what the cost will be. It is significant strategic long-term plan watering system to water the botanical gardens during the drought, push water up the pool, push water along the river precinct, and has the capacity to push water across Store Road. And now we don't know where those funds are going to come from. Can I suggest, Mr. Mayor, we probably will not receive a federal or a state grant for that, but it'll be picked up through an additional cost or reduction in expenditure through the rate base. I would have liked to have seen that figure, Mr. Mayor, and that's something that maybe could have been fleshed out before this decision was finalised, and it would be something that I hope the new council asks the questions around some of that detail. I'll conclude there, Mr. Mayor, but I think part of the City to River is excellent, but again, I encourage councillors to consider their thought process on allowing the new council to indeed review this and make a determination on this agenda item, which won't detract from the report that's been provided by the groups that have been involved. It'll just allow a new councillor to make a decision as they rightly should do.
Thank you. Okay, speakers for the motion. Councillor Power.
Thanks, Mr. Mayor. I have got this right. I am speaking in favour of the decision that you made. Is that correct?
You're speaking in, you may choose to speak in favour of my 5-point recommendation. Yes, the one before you.
Thank you very much. There's been a lot of talk. One other thing. Has the time been extended for myself as well, if I need that time?
Yeah, well, after 3 minutes, I'll call you 3 minutes, and then we can extend the time if need be, yep.
Thank you. I won't need that time. Mr. Mayor, thank you for putting the recommendation up. That's all I can say. On behalf of the Horsham community, thank you very much. You beat me to the punch. This is a project that is much needed in Horsham. The Horsham Rural City, we need this, and we need this in a really big way, especially the way we're at the moment in relation to the COVID situation, where we're finding people are out of work, people are being paid less. We need something positive for our community, and this is something positive. Congratulations must go to the CRG. All the time and the effort they've put into this for the people and to work with the people. They are the community representation that we asked for in the first place. They've put the report together, and yet we now sit here and say we have doubts about this and we have doubts about that. We put our trust into these people that have gone out there and worked tirelessly for it, and again we come to the end and we say, well, hang on, let's leave it to the next council to do. We have got to have the balls to stand up and say, let's go ahead, let's do something, let's get on the journey with the community. Let's make a future for Horsham. Please, let's just do it. Let's vote yes, let's go ahead, let's be positive. We need to grow and flow with the river. We really do. It's time we've got out of that position that we're in that will depend on agriculture, will depend on mining, will depend on tourism. Hang on a second, it's time that we stood up and said, we are Horsham people. We need things to progress. We are supposed to be, and I say we are supposed to be, a rural, large rural city. We're supposed to be. We compete with Bendigo's, Geelong's, Echuca's, Swan Hill's, everywhere else. We compete with them, yet we're quite happy to sit back, let those places go ahead, and us just fumble along and argue about matters that should be talked about over briefing meetings, discussed and finalised, then come. Yes, if you want to debate, if we want to debate, we can do it, but we can debate in a positive manner for our community. We really need to go ahead with this. People, the community have voted. The report shows that. The CRG have put in tireless hours to get it up for everybody. And yet we sit here and fumble and debate about what's going to happen. Congratulations, Mayor, and congratulations everybody that supports this motion. Thank you.
Councillor Power. Speakers against the motion. Councillor Robinson.
A question first, if I may, Mr. Mayor, that relates to the Horsham Strategic Statement, which is our hierarchical planning document. Which how do we overcome the fact that the strategic statement says we should discourage any buildings in flood zone? Both the splash park and the cafe would be within the flood zone, from what I can see, Mr. Mayor.
All right, I might throw that to take that a question for first Mr. O'Brien, and then I should give Mr. Martin the opportunity to comment with his previous work experience. So I'll go to Mr. O'Brien first.
Through Mr. Mayor, we've had discussions, in-depth discussions with CMA, both regarding the water play park feature, which was as part of the grant submission, and part of that was to look at the components of that water play feature and their ability to be movable and their issues around that. The cafe restaurant site is there's actually housing already there on that particular site. So if you look at the flooding issues around that particular site, certainly we've looked at where the best place is to develop that site based on current structures and also the flood data that we've got from the CMA. So we're thinking about the different components based on all the available from data and working very closely with the CMA to ensure that if those structures are part of that development, that there's certainly a high degree of assessment around mitigation of those top structures.
Now, Mr. Mayor, that doesn't quite answer what I was asking.
Oh, Councillor Robertson, just hang on a sec, please. Just hang on, please. Thank you, Mr. O'Brien. Mr. Martin, did you have a comment?
Oh, just briefly, I think Mr. O'Brien's summarised it fairly well. The key point is that we're working in compliance with the CMA requirements.
Thank you. Yeah, Councillor Robertson, do you have another question? Yes.
Well, Mr. Mayor, just clarifying that one in the first instance, I'm talking about the document, the strategic statement, as opposed to what actions we might take on the ground, have to be amended, and the state government would have to agree with it. And in relation to the comment that existing structures may or may not be in the flood zone, the rules of today are not the rules of yesterday, so we can't benchmark against something that might have been on the 150 flood zone when you're looking at the 1 in 100 some years later. So just some clarification around the strategic statement. No, don't get me wrong, Mr. Mayor, I support a lot of this stuff, but unless we've got the answers, then we're not in a good position to make the decision right now. So if I could have an understanding of, and surely we've looked at the strategic statement, but it does clearly say we will discourage buildings, any buildings, in the flood zones. How do we overcome that?
So, Mr. O'Brien, do you want to make any other comments about that?
Well, it's the principle applying the flood zone, that flood zone principle, then looking at, obviously, if there's any development which we're looking at in flood zones, we'd be getting the best advice from the CMA based on the best data, which they've currently or recently just updated their flood data to make informed decisions about any structures that we seem as deemed as possible for those particular areas.
Sorry, Mr. Mayor, we still haven't got to the strategic statement and how we change that, if we can change that.
Okay, all right. Okay, I think Mr. O'Brien's answered it pretty well. I think it's important to, the only thing I would add, Councillor Robertson, is the fact that the CMA has been one of the active participants in this process.
Point of order, Mr. Mayor, you're not addressing, and Mr. O'Brien's not addressing my question.
Well, if you're not happy with the answer, I'm not sure what else we can do. So I'm going to invite you now to speak against the motion.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Pointed in your decision, but I have to live with it. Mr. Mayor, on three occasions, I think I've raised the issue of the risk of drowning and the fact that we have no risk assessment. And Horsham, Wimmera Times, December 13, 2019. If your child is swimming and under 5 years old, they need to be within hand reach of you. That article goes on to quote drowning statistics across the state and across this area. And, Mr. Mayor, I don't believe we've given due consideration to the actual site of the splash park. As I said, I have no problem with the splash park, but putting it beside a dark river, steep banks, is a recipe for disaster. You get mum trying to watch three kids and the phone goes. It happens in a heartbeat, Mr. Mayor, and I've pulled two bodies out of local waters. I don't want to pull any more out. So we absolutely need a risk assessment there. And my suggestion, Mr. Mayor, if we do nothing now, the next council will have to pool fence either the river or pool fence this site. And that would then impede the footpath cycling track on both ends, probably with double pool gates. There are three other locations in the very near vicinity two in the botanical gardens and one at the pool. None of them require the expensive parking and roadworks to make all of this work. So, Mr. Mayor, before we commit this community to a death trap, we at least need a competent risk assessment and expert advice on what we can do to mitigate those issues. Enough said on that, Mr. Mayor. I note that the community reference group decision was not unanimous. I'm also aware that Barangi Gadjin, our Koori community, are not necessarily happy. And I note from Councillor Clark that a lot of the community desire to keep this area natural, a natural environment. We all support that. There are ways of doing that, but with what we're proposing at the moment, we're not quite there. So, Mr. Mayor, in line with what we moved earlier tonight to pass a decision at the 11th hour, for us to make a decision at the 23rd hour is unwise, will not be supported by the community, and will result in an adverse outcome on what should be a good project, Mr. Mayor. So I urge councillors to take a breath, ask our next council to filter everything, including the audit process, but more importantly, the safety issues, amenity issues and cost. And I believe we could come up with a better, safer outcome. And just by way of example, just north of the caravan park, you've got that play area in the botanical gardens with big high fences, shading, beautiful amenity.
See, so I just have to pause you there, please. It's 3 minutes. So I'd like to extend the speaking time. Would someone like to move that, please?
Mr. Mayor, I need no more time. I think the I've said all I need to say. Thank you.
Thank you. Now the speakers for the motion. Councillor Koenig.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. For the majority of speakers before me, I too would like to congratulate the reference group and the wider community for the work that's gone into this, the submissions, the feedback, the extensive work that's gone in by a bunch of really knowledgeable people. It's interesting, as I listen to this debate, and I feel the only time I hear negative things about this project is when I'm in the council chamber, so that's a reflection that I've had. Maybe I'm not talking to the right people, or the right people aren't talking to me, but the feedback I'm getting from the community is, well, initially when we missed out on that government funding to fund this natural water park alongside the river, there was just disappointment by the community members that I spoke to around missing out on that funding, and now we have to wait a little bit more for any development. Because I guess in the world that I live in, with a young family, friends with young children, we want to grow old in Horsham. We want to stay here. But I tell you what, we booked a holiday to Mildura now that we're allowed to in a few weeks with a big group of our friends, because the attractions that they've got there, we're really excited about. So that's where we're going to go, and we're going to put our money into their economy. I wonder how many people would come from Mildura to Horsham at this stage to put money into our economy. I'd think not a lot. So I guess what I'm trying to say in a kind of roundabout way is, the benefits far outweigh any perceived negatives with this project for me. I think we've been talking about it for a really, really long time. We're at a point now that we can actually make some difference. And I don't see we're sitting the next council up, we're putting them in a sleeper hold or anything like that. We're putting them in a position to make the most of future, and there will be more future government COVID funding that's available. If we put this on hold now, if we don't move this to the next step, that item number 5 on the agenda, that's going to be irrelevant, because our new council won't be able to put their hand up for any possible COVID funding in relation to this project. So I think we'd be doing them out of some great opportunities. And, I've got to go, to another, business meeting or a work meeting and have to tell people about why council aren't supporting progression along the river. It's dumbfounding that we're still arguing so much about it. So, to sum it up, jobs, create attraction for families, and more importantly, if I'm being selfishly, where I work. So I'm always looking for different ways to attract people to the area so we can get skilled professionals to the area. Most of those young skilled professionals have young families, and the feedback that I get when I call them is like, well, there's not too much in Horsham. We might go to Warrnambool, we might go to Mildura, and we might go to Bendigo, because there's those health options everywhere in community services. If we want to get qualified social workers, qualified mental health workers, qualified anything, we need progression like this. And, you know, for me, it's a really easy decision to support the great work that the community reference group's done, the great work that this council's done. And I will note Justine Kingdom, the work that she put into it before she left Horsham Rural City Council, because she did a lot of great work. Now Carolyn's picked up that on the way. So for me, it's really, you know, as a young professional, I like to still think that I'm youngish, a young professional with a young family. I'm in fully support of this, and my networks, the community that I speak to and the community that voted me in and the community that I represent are in support of it as well. So pretty easy decision for me tonight, Mr. Mayor. I think you're still on mute, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Thank you, Councillor Koenig. Right, are there any other speakers? Councillor Golden.
Thanks, Mr. Mayor. Can I just ask that any other speakers or any other councillors or officers have their microphones on mute, please? Sorry, it's just a bit of feedback on my end, that's all. Thank you. So I do share what Councillor Koenig has addressed, as well as what Councillor Grimble has addressed. For me, this report is endorsing the community engagement report, which we've got. It's determining possible costs for prioritisation to enable the first phase to proceed and seek further funding opportunities to minimise local government contributions, which is a good thing for me. This report has been progressed, enacted and developed by the Community Reference Group. I applaud this group and its members for the work and time that they have contributed to further economic, social and tourism benefits for our community. These recommendations that the group have proposed are based on sound engagement with the broader community, which is appreciated and provides intrigue on my end for the prosperity of our local amenities. There are a lot of measures in this document to provide the community with stepped achievable components of the concept plan, so first phase. I believe that it is important that the council actively seeks financial grants and further opportunities to make as much impact without bringing the cost to the greater community. This report plan for engagement from the CRG, the Community Reference Group, captures the sentiments that I have heard and been informed of, which displays this as having a positive net benefit to our community. And that's the people that I speak to or the people that communicate with me. I don't appreciate, however, that we have placed this report in at what seems like the last minute. Though, as it is supported by the Community Reference Group and community through their engagement report, I am supportive of it. Further to this perspective, I do have some questions to finalise my view. So I do have a few questions, Mr. Mayor. The first question that I have is, over what time frame is the forecasted money to be spent? If that one's a bit too hard to answer, just a rough, please.
Okay, I'll throw to Mr. O'Brien.
Through Mr. Mayor, so looking at construction around March next year, and then the completion of construction, the following end of the following calendar year, so that's sort of 18 month type time frame we're looking at.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. O'Brien. My next question is: what contribution is local government making, and will this relate to grants being sourced? In the report, it states. Sorry, just draw it up. It states contribution work in kind from council. So I'm just asking, so what contribution is it that we're making, and are we going to be sourcing as many grants and opportunities to reduce the costs as we can?
So, Brian?
Through Mr. Mayor, so with the current commitment of the works that have been costed out, we've got 1.65 million from the federal government, 500,000 from the state government, which came in after the federal government. So we've already reduced our the overall contribution, and then an 850,000 from local government. So we've actually certainly maximised our contribution by an additional 1.15 million. 2.15 million in addition to the council contribution.
Thank you. Councillor Goldwyn?
Sorry, another question that I have is, so it was mentioned tonight in the debate, but I believe that I had thought that the vote for the motion for the CRG was unanimous, but I'm just clarifying, was that vote to have this this report brought today, was that vote unanimous?
O'Brien.
Through you, Mr. Mayor, yes, it was unanimous at the meeting that the report come forward to the council meeting, the concept plan is proposed.
Thank you. Any further questions, Councillor Goldwyn?
Yeah, just one more. Thank you, Mr. O'Brien. The last one that I have is, does the next council have the opportunity to alter this first stage of the concept plan or where we're currently at? Does it have the opportunity to alter it from what we're looking at tonight and what we're voting on?
Councillor, Mr. O'Brien?
Through Mr. Mayor, so once this plan's adopted or endorsed by council, if endorsed tonight, we'll develop detailed designs to work towards a timeframe for going out the tender for construction. So it's expected that those documents will be finalised in the next couple of months and then we'll go out for tender. So basically, the tender will be issued before or the new council comes online, or certainly well advanced. So, obviously there'll be further details provided to the community around what those concepts look like developed based on the concept plan in more detail over the next few months.
Any other questions, Councillor Goldwyn?
Mr. Mayor, just a supplementary one. So, sorry, Mr. O'Brien, just through you, Mr. Mayor. Just to confirm, so the next council will have the opportunity to make alterations if they see fit to do so?
Certainly not to... the phase one works, they'll be developed up and go out to tender before the next council is in a position. So anything beyond that phase one, further feedback, not just beyond stage one, but in City River beyond that point, there'll be opportunities for the new council to provide comments about what they see as far as those developments of City River as we move forward.
Mr. Mayor, my position tonight, so at the moment I will be voting in support of the proposed recommendations, but for me it's due to the community reference group actually putting a unanimous vote in, or motion, sorry, to have it met for tonight. So I was really hesitant with the time frame, but if it's got the backing of that group, then I appreciate what they have done and what they've achieved for our community.
Thank you, Councillor Goldwyn. Okay, so we'll now move to the vote. So I'm going to do it for the five different parts. That's okay, don't worry. Okay, so the first one is number one, receive and note the recommendation from the community reference group. The CRG have seen and discussed the plans and draft budget and move to put it before the council on 21 September based on priorities of the community engagement. All those in favour? Against? It's carried. Thank you. Number two, note the outcomes and community sentiment captured in the community engagement report attached as Appendix 9.4A. Put the motion. All those in favour? Against? It's carried. Thank you. Number three, endorse the concept plan presented for Stage 1 Riverfront Activation attached as Appendix 9.4B. I'll put the motion. All those in favour? Against? That's carried. Thank you. Item number four, endorse the prioritisation and costs of the scope of works for the first phase of the Riverfront Precinct development as proposed by the Community Reference Group, attached as Appendix 9.4C. I'll put the vote. All those in favour? Against? That's carried. Thank you. And number five, continue to seek opportunities to achieve all of the components of the concept plan as presented to the community and supported by the Community Reference Group. I'll put the vote. All those in favour? Against? That's carried. Thank you. We move now to item 9.5, which is contract 21006, supply and delivery of replacement side loader garbage truck. The purpose of this report is to award contract 20006 for the replacement of an 18 square metre, cubic metre, sorry, capacity Intermac garbage truck, with a recommendation there, please.
Right, so move the recommendation as presented in the agenda, Mr. Mayor.
Right, could you read it, please, Councillor Grimble?
I'd like to move that Council accept the tender of Westar Truck Centre for supply and delivery of an Isuzu FVD 165-300 Superior Pack at a total cost of $318,614.79 ex-GST, inclusive of trade-in.
Thank you. Moved by Councillor Grimble. Good. Thank you. Someone like to second that, please? Seconded by Councillor Koenig. Is anyone opposed, or does any councillor wish to speak to the motion? Well, as I put the motion, all those in favour? Against? That's carried. Thank you. Move to item 9.6, contract 21010, supply and delivery of replacement tipper truck and trailer. The purpose of this report is to award contract 20010 for the replacement of a Mack tipper truck. With a recommendation there, councillors?
So move the recommendation.
I think I saw Councillor Goldman's hand up first. So Councillor Goldman, could you read it, please?
Mr. Mayor, I'm happy to move the recommendation that the council accept the tender of Barry Manny, group for supply and delivery of a DAF CF530/AA diesel body and trailer at a total cost of $258,698.55, excluding GST, inclusive of trade-in.
Thank you, which has been seconded by Councillor Clark. Is the motion opposed, or does any councillor wish to speak? If not, I'll put the motion. All those in favour? Against? That's carried. Thank you. 9.7 is the Doohan Landfill Cell 3 construction tender. The purpose of this report is to award the contract for the construction of Cell 3A at the Doohan Landfill. And there's two parts to that.
Mr. Mayor, can I have some clarification on the contract sum amount? Because I believe the hard copy that's provided has been amended by the CEO. And there's been a change to the recommendation. So yeah. I'd like a clarification from the CEO about what indeed is the recommendation of council, please.
Yeah, that's good. Thank you, Mr. Bella.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. And you're right, Councillor Grimble, there is an amended recommendation which you've got, Fiona. Yeah, so we can read that recommendation, councillors.
The council award contract 21/012, construction of Doohan Landfill Cell 3, to Shamrock Civil Engineering Proprietary Limited for the construct sum of $2,419,780.50.
Okay, could you read it once more, please, just to be clear? Some of them writing it down.
The Council Award Contract 21/012, construction of Doohan Landfill Cell 3 to Shamrock Civil Engineering Proprietary Limited for the contract sum of $2,419,780.50.
Someone like to move that motion, please, as read?
Happy to move that, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor Grimble. Someone like to second that, please? Councillor Power, is the motion opposed, or does any councillor wish to speak?
Mr. Mayor, the contract sum is $2,419,780.50. Can you confirm that I've written it down accurately?
Yes, Fiona's just confirmed that, yes.
Thank you, that's what I had written down. Thank you.
Mr. Martin's also confirmed that, okay. Okay, I put the vote. All those in favour? Against? That's carried. Thank you. Now to item 9.8, the Zero Carbon Plan and Climate Change Pledge. The purpose of this report is to adopt the Zero Net Emissions Action Plan with two-part recommendation there, councillors.
Happy to move that, Mr. Mayor.
Councillor Clark, could you read it, please?
Certainly, Mr. Mayor. That council, number one, commit to a science-derived emissions target, that its target for greenhouse emissions and to reduce the carbon emission by 3.5%, 221 tonnes of carbon dioxide equivalent per year until 2050, representing a total reduction of 100% over that time. And two, adopt the Zero Net Emissions Action Plan to achieve that target.
Good, thank you. Someone like to second that, please? Councillor Koenig, thank you. Is the motion opposed or does any councillor wish to speak? Thank you, Councillor Grimble. So, Councillor Clark, off you go, please.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I think it's really important that we all look at how we can best assist our environment. We're watching major bushfires around the world, including Australia. We're watching loss of property, of life. It's so important that we do our bit as an organisation to ensure that we reduce our impact on the environment. I think every one of us individually needs to take responsibility, but as an organisation, this is a very important target to try and reach. Often we don't reach our full targets, but we need to aim as high as we possibly can. And 100% over that time is really important that we actually achieve it. Hopefully we'll get there before 2050, but I think we need to really be trying our hardest to reduce our emissions the best way we possibly can. So I commend Council on the enormous amount of work that's gone into working out how we can best look after our environment as an organisation. Thank you, Mr. Mayor. You're on silent, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor Clark. Councillor Koenig.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Nothing further.
Thank you. Before I ask for speakers, I'd like to ask Mr. Martin a couple of questions about this. Can you just explain over the long period, if we have a target to aim for, there might be some years that we do better than others. Is it averaged out, or are they each treated as each individual year? That's the first question I have, if that makes sense, Mr. Martin.
Thanks, Mr. Mayor. Yes, the intention is that it would be averaged over a number of years, and subject to budgeting from time to time, we might have a larger program in one year and less of a program in another year, but it's a cumulative effect over a number of years that we're trying to gradually decrease our carbon footprint, our carbon emissions. So it is certainly an averaged approach that we're looking for.
Okay, and the other question I had, does our work in this area, does that include the tree planting we do? Is that taken into consideration? And also water conservation measures, are they also considered in the calculations for this?
Mr. Mayor, it's fair to say that some of our tree planting work would produce a carbon benefit, but they're not registered offsets that meet the standards required to be considered as offsets. And in fact, offsets are the least preferred means of achieving carbon reductions. We try to reduce our carbon usage and substitute it via other means first before we look at offsets. So the tree planting is very good, but not counted as part of this proposal, Mr. Mayor.
Right, thank you. Thank you, Mr. Martin. I'll now open to speakers. First of all, speakers against the motion. Councillor Grimble.
Mr. Mayor, I've got a question, and maybe the question be directed to the CEO. Given the fact that we've called a special meeting, how does this report constitute an urgent business item that needs to be resolved tonight? Why is this report on the agenda? us to consider before the caretaker period.
Through you, Mr. Mayor. Well, it is not a special meeting, Councillor. It is a council meeting, and there's no restriction on the items council can consider. So the only restriction is, you know, is that we wanted to bring tonight items, you know, which are subject to the caretaker provision. So items which can't be considered next week, that's why it's listed tonight. And as you know, and it has been pointed out earlier, there's a lot of work which has gone into this into this process, you know, a lot of time analysing the data, you know, which has happened during the term of this council. So it is quite appropriate, you know, that this council considers this plan.
A point of order, Mr. Mayor.
Just hang on a sec. Councillor Grimble was going to say something.
I was going to ask a question. So is this report dependent on the caretaker period to be resolved or not resolved?
Sorry, I missed that, Councillor Grimble.
Is this report dependent on resolving or not resolving while we're still in active council business? Does it have to be resolved prior to the caretaker period?
Well, obviously, you know, we brought it because the work has been completed and it's ready, you know, for the council consideration. So it's really up to the council to decide, you know, whether it wants to adopt the recommendation or not. But like any, you know, any other report we've actually put up tonight. So from our officer's point of view, we believe this piece of work is ready for recommendation, and hence it's in front of you. So it's really up to you, you know, to make a decision or not to make a decision.
Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Grimble. Councillor Robertson?
Yeah, Mr. Mayor, what we've just been advised by the CEO is contrary to the meeting documents 9.11 for the reason for the additional council meeting prior to the election period, which stated scheduling an additional council meeting on the 21st of September 2020 will allow council to consider urgent tenders and other matters which will be impacted by the election period, which commences at 12 midday tomorrow. And that was the basis on which we accepted setting up this meeting.
Yeah. And
my answer to that, Council has said this fits within the specifications, Mr. Mayor.
Yeah, so my response to that, Councillor Robertson, was that we're not limited to dealing with other business as well. But did you want to say anything else, Mr. Bell?
No, I don't know. As I said earlier, Mr. Mayor, yes, this item is affected by the caretaker provision. So we can't actually presented at the next meeting. That's why it's in the agenda tonight. But the reason also it's in the agenda tonight is because it's ready to be presented. That's why it's there.
Okay. I'll now call for speakers against the motion. Councillor Grimble, you put your hand up before, so I'll go back to you, please.
Yes. Thank you, Mr. Mayor. On the clarification from the CEO in relation to the caretaker period, I'd like to start off by saying that we've all got corporate responsibility to improve some of these issues and lead by example, and I do acknowledge that. But to me, Mr. Mayor, I think that this, again, is a report that sits well for the new council to resolve, and on that basis, I struggle to support the recommendation. We certainly got some good initiatives, there's no question about that, that support the crux of this report. But, Mr. Mayor, if I was to ask a lot of the community about a report like this coming to council, they'd probably tell me that it'd be great if council could stick to the core function of local government and not get caught up in some of these social and environmental agenda issues. And I would agree with that comment in part, and I would oppose it in part. But Mr. Mayor, it'd be fair to say that there's a lot of money being made out of climate change. And I am a little bit sceptical, particularly around some of the return on investment. I probably need some more detail about not so much the initiatives in this report, because I think that's a little bit clearer. But when we start talking about spending money to save money, it can be a little bit, I suppose, lack clarity. So I'm a little bit wary and a little bit sceptical about a lot of commentary around climate change. I believe that our climate's been changing for generations, and what we're seeing is just part of an evolution of the cycle. Can I say, Mr. Mayor, from a farming perspective and from an industry, there is no more conservative an environmentally thinking industry than a farming enterprise if you don't look after the farm you operate and certainly have an understanding about the land to which you farm. It is very counterproductive. So I think the farming sector are well placed to make those comments. But again, I'd say that a lot of people would make comment to me that it would be great if council didn't get caught up in some of these social and environmental agenda-driven ideas and really just stick to the core function, Mr. Mayor. I think it'd be more appropriate if we deferred this item and let the new council review it, ask the questions and resolve to deal with the matter. So on that basis, Mr. Mayor, I can't support the recommendation.
Okay, good, thank you. Any other speakers for the recommendation? Any other speakers against the recommendation? Councillor Robinson.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I echo the comments of Councillor Grimble, but also ask Director Martin to correct me if I'm wrong, but a number of other actions that we take that don't seem to be included in this is, for example, the truck movements through this city, and we have a means to control that. So at the moment, trucks stop, I don't know, is it 6 or 8 times, changing gears, using fuel, creating emissions. If part of our urban transport plan linked with this, then there are some potentially significant benefits, particularly in relation to the trucks, heavy vehicles. So, Mr. Mayor, this is a forward-facing document. I was asked to comment a week ago on it, and I appreciate that, but it belongs to the next council. The next council needs to own it, and certainly support it going to the next council. There's nothing we can do with it in the time that's left to us. Inappropriate that it be before this council, and an abuse, really, of the statement at our last meeting that it was only going to be essentially urgent matters that were brought before this council. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor Robertson. I'm also going to speak against the motion tonight. I do believe that before a council makes a large commitment, we need to follow a thorough process which involves our community, and we've already seen examples of that tonight. So I think when a new council comes on board, it has to do something which councils haven't had to do before, and that is have a 10-year vision. And I think the visioning process would be the ideal time for this to come up, and which will go out to the new council will work up a draft vision, and then it'll go out to the community. As the process goes, we know the community feedback is taken on board, and changes are made, and then you come up with something. So I actually support this council as continues to do a lot of good things in relation to environmental issues. And we know in the last budget, we've talked about solar panels. We've talked about a whole lot of initiatives. Our next report relates to, you know, saving 3 million litres of water a year. This council has a good record of doing things to improve our environment, and that work certainly won't stop. I am cautious about the target, and as I've shared before at our briefing meeting, I'm also cautious about the having to pay offsets. So I think this is a decision for the new council, which will involve some community input, and so I will be voting against this tonight. Are there any other speakers for or against? Councillor Goulburn.
Mr. Mayor, I am just listening to the debate that's occurred so far. So my view on this is that I think that if we can do anything to reduce greenhouse emissions, then we need to do that. If we can prevent climate change in any way, then we should do it. I think it's everyone's responsibility. It shouldn't just be based on local government, state government, federal government. We all have a responsibility to play a part in this. However, in saying that, as much as I'm very much for the prevention of the detriment to our earth, I think it's important that it is taken upon by the new council. I understand that, you know, we can still take that on tonight, but we did state at last council meeting that we would make this decision for the 21st to have a meeting based on
the fact that we were going to do things that had to be done financially. So I'm a bit, yeah, hesitant on that one myself. I just want to note the work that has been done, and I do hope that the next council decide to endorse this, because I think it's something that does need to occur. I'd actually like to see a bit more added to this as well, if we can, to this report for the next council, if it is to come up. For me, I'm a big believer in the United Nations Sustainable Development Goals, and I know it might be a bit of a topic that's not always found good, but I think that that could be included in a way as well, and how we can achieve some of those and work together for those outcomes.
Good. Thank you, Councillor Goulburn. Any further speakers? Councillor Clark, you have a right of reply.
Just like to ask a question, please.
Certainly.
Mr. Martin. Mr. Martin, why do you believe this needs to be brought up tonight? What would be the issues if we did not pass this tonight and we waited for the new council? When you consider the new council won't be in place until late November, then you've got December, January, where not much happens. So you're looking at going into February, March before, and even later before a new council understands all of the concepts that we're dealing with in this document. So what kind of an impact will it have if we don't pass this tonight?
Mr. Mayor, I think the councillor has actually answered to the question herself, that it basically would mean that there'd be limited chance to implement actions this year, and there is a modest amount, I think it's $50,000 in this year's budget to implement actions from this plan, so we won't be able to start work on that. But as would be the case on a year-by-year basis, that the investment in this plan is going to need to be considered by the council at the time and make annual decisions about the annual investments for implementation of this plan. So if it wasn't considered tonight, then it's a major policy statement, and that's, I suppose, a key reason for it coming up tonight as well. But if it's delayed, then it sort of puts us back till early to middle of next calendar year before we can do any further actions in that regard.
Thank you. Councillor Clark.
Thank you, Mr. Martin. I appreciate that. That's my major concern. We are here to govern as a council until the election. That is our job. That is our duty as councillors. This putting off until the next council, putting off till the next council, that is a dereliction of our duty as councillors here and now. Mr. Martin, the council need a decision from council so they can actually act on this document, so that the council can actually look at how they're going to act on it. There is money in the budget to help with the implementation of this document. I think we are being irresponsible if we do not support our executive, our staff, who've put enormous amount of time and energy into this document and what it means for this council and this organisation and this community. So I will not disrespect those that have worked hard on this document. I think it needs to move forward, and it is our duty as councillors to move this forward. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Okay. I'll put the motion now. All those in favour? Against? Motion is lost. Corporate division, please. All those in favour, please signify clearly. Councillor Power, Councillor Clark, Councillor Koenig. All those against, Councillor Grimble, Councillor Robertson, Councillor Goulburn, Councillor Radford. Thank you.
Will you accept a motion, please?
Councillor Grimble.
I'd like to move that the incoming council be briefed on the zero carbon plan and related documents.
Yeah, someone like to second that, please? Right, seconded by Councillor Goulburn. Are there any opposition or people wishing to speak? If not, I'll put the motion. All those in favour? Yes, Councillor Grimble.
Mr. Mayor, the problem I have with the process you've developed is there's no capacity for me to introduce what I'm intending to do, but I think it's relatively straightforward, so I've got no comment.
Yeah. Okay, so therefore I'll put the vote. All those in favour? Against? That's carried. Thank you. Move now to item 9.9, which is the concreting service contract 20020 panel of contractors. The purpose of this report is to award a concreting service contract to a panel of contractors for the maintenance and renewal works needed for council infrastructure assets, for example, footpath, curb and channel and roadworks. There's a recommendation there, councillors.
So moved, Mr. Mayor.
Councillor Clark, could you please read what you're moving?
Yes, Mr. Mayor, we recommend that council accept the tender submitted by AWS Services Victoria, Jenny Associate Proprietary Limited, and MF and JL Wilmore Contractors as a panel of contractors for the concreting services contract.
Thank you. Someone like to second that, please? Councillor Golden seconded. Good, thank you. Is the motion opposed or does any councillor wish to speak? Councillor Grimble's going to speak, so Councillor Clark, you go first, please.
Mr. Mayor, I only have a question to ask, so I don't wish to speak, but I do have a question to Mr. Martin.
Okay, so I'm happy to take that. I'm just wondering how we should do this differently. Maybe if you put your hand up and say, question, please, Mr. Mayor, that might help us. But
Mr. Mayor.
Yeah, I reckon that might work. Councillor Grimble.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. With the companies that are part of the recommendation, what do you propose as the process to further select the contractor that might do the work at the particular time? Might it be a further tender process, or how do you envisage that might roll out?
Mr. Mayor, the process will be that we have a priority order for the tenderers based on their pricing for different types of work, and we'll use the cheapest first subject to their availability. There's a fair bit of work coming up, and I expect it will keep some of them busy for a fair bit of the time. So it's going to be a matter of pricing, then availability as the second priority.
Thank you. That's all I need to know. Good. Appreciate the response, the answer.
Okay, thank you. So I'll go back to my question. Is the motion opposed or does any councillor wish to speak? No, nothing. So I'm going to put the motion. All those in favour? Against? That's carried. Thank you. Okay, over the page to 9.10, the Coghlan Park Bowling Green contract. The purpose of this report is to award a contract for the installation of new synthetic bowling greens at Coghlan Park Bowls Club in Horsham. The recommendation there, which has been moved by Councillor Koenig. Councillor Koenig, could you read it for us, please?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I so move the recommendation that Council award the contract for installation of new synthetic bowling greens at Coghlan Park Bowls Club to Berry Bowling Systems for $350,701, excluding GST.
Thank you. And that's seconded by Councillor Clark. So I wish to speak on this, so I'm going to throw it to Josh. Councillor Koenig first, please.
Over to you, Mr. Mayor. That's fine.
All right, Councillor Clark, did you wish to speak?
Just, Mr. Mayor, that this is a wonderful outcome for this facility. All around, this club has worked so hard to improve their facilities with new club rooms, and this synthetic bowling green is just such a cost saver for the club. So I'm really excited and thrilled that we've been able to do this and help them. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Yeah, thank you. Are there any speakers against the motion? Okay, I'd just like to publicly acknowledge the support of the state government here. We received such generous funding from both levels of government, particularly our sporting infrastructure. The state government has been most supportive, anything to do with drought proofing. And we can sort of think in the back of our minds, many bowling greens which have been upgraded. They're not cheap to upgrade, but they're a great investment. As I said before, I think the report number is 3 million litres of water saved a year just on keeping them green, let alone the maintenance going up and back, up and back, up and back, up and back, and up and back on a traditional bowling green. And obviously the chemicals and all those other things which are required to maintain the genuine surface. So, I'm not a regular bowler myself, but I understand that the people who do the bowls in our community appreciate the new surfaces. There are different skills required to get the balls rolling how you need it, but that's okay. And I think it's just another great step forward. And it is also very important to acknowledge the financial contribution of this project by the Coghlan Park community, which is a great achievement as well. So I think it's a lovely thing that's happening tonight, and I'm sure everybody's in the bowling community is looking at getting back out on those greens as soon as possible in a COVID-safe way. And so we wish them all the best with this project. Are there any other speakers? Councillor Grimble.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor, and delighted to support the awarding of the contract tonight for the new synthetic bowling greens. But I'd like to acknowledge that this contract and the works will really be complementary to the significant sporting precinct that this community enjoys down there. When you have a look at what's been developed over a relatively short time, and since the floods, there's been significant development in that sporting precinct, and it actually is it's equal to anything you'd see in any other regional city, and it's certainly one of the best sporting precincts, if not the only sporting precinct truly worth that we've got in Horsham. And to couple that up with the educational precinct, I think it shows how the two can work in harmony and provide some real core benefits. So the contract tonight will be very, very complimentary and very, very much appreciated by the bowls club, but it'd be very, very complimentary for the whole sports and educational precinct that we see down there. It's just it's a credit to those people involved, and it actually shows clearly and gives us some idea potentially how we might be able to manage, or the new council might deliberate the new proposed indoor sporting facility and what opportunities there might be for something along those lines. So happy to award the contract, and I know that the synthetic bowling greens will serve them well, particularly through other measures such as reducing water usage and making them more drought resilient, and all the benefits through consistency with the surfaces and those sorts of things. So this one's a good story for Coghlan Park community, but it's also a good thing for the key funders and those that have been involved, and council's small contribution, but the dollars and the in-kind support is contributing to a really successful outcome. So happy to support it.
Thank you. Any other speakers? I'll put the motion. All those in favour? Against? That's carried. Thank you. Number 911. Award of provision of tyres, batteries and associated service contract. The purpose of this report is to award the contract for the provision of tyres, batteries and associated services. And there's a recommendation there, which has been moved by Councillor Clark. Thank you. Can you read that for us, please?
Yep. The recommendation that Council award contract 20-018, provision of tyres, batteries and associated services to the following four companies at the rate nominated in their tender submissions: Tyre Right, Beaumont Goodyear, Horsham Tyre and Battery and Tyre Power.
Okay. No repairs, that's fine, that's cool. Someone like to second that, please? Councillor Goldman seconded, good. Anyone opposed, or does any councillor wish to speak? That being the case, I'll put the motion. All those in favour? Against? That's carried. Thank you. Council item number 10 is council reports and acknowledgements. That's been postponed or deferred to our next meeting next Monday night. There's no urgent business listed. Item 12 is the petitions and joint letters. 12.1 is the Homer's Court petition. So I wish to advise that the planning application number PA200013 has been withdrawn by the applicant. Therefore, the Homer's Court petition is no longer relevant. So I have a recommendation that Council note planning application number PA200013 has been withdrawn by the applicant. Therefore, the Homer's Court petition need not be considered.
Mr. Mayor, I don't think we should dismiss the petition in that way. The petition is actually live and was signed before the decision of the developer. So I'd like to move that we receive and deal with the petition now, please.
Okay, so what I suggest you do, if you have an alternate motion, that's fine.
Yes, I do, but we've got a petition and a joint letter on the agenda, and we would normally lay that on the table, but I believe that we can deal with that petition tonight based on the comments you've just made.
Okay, so Ms. Kelly's at the ready. If you'd like to type a motion, we're happy to listen to it.
Well, first and foremost, Mr. Mayor, I'd like to move that we deal with the petition relating to the Homer's Court petition now, please.
Okay, it's stage one. Yeah, good. Yep. So that's the recommendation from Councillor Grimble that we deal with the petition now. Would someone like to second that? I'll second that. Okay. Is there anyone opposed, or does any councillor wish to speak? I'll put the motion. All those in favour? Against, that's carried. So that means we're going to deal with it now. Okay, Councillor Grimble.
Mr. Mayor, I'd like to move that Council advise the petitioners of the decision of the developer in relation to the subdivision at 9 Homer's Court.
Fiona's just typing, Ms. Kelly's just typing away, so I'll get it to read it back shortly. Would you like David to say it again?
The council advised the petitioners of the decision of the developer in relation to the subdivision of 9 Homer's Court.
Sound good? Is that what you wanted, Councillor Grimble?
Well, it could include the word that they've withdrawn their application, and that would complete.
That's cool. You want to add that in? That's fine. Take your time. No hurry. Okay. Do you want to read the whole thing, boys, so they don't vote for?
The council advised the petitioners of the decision of their withdrawal of the application from the developer, noting in relation to the subdivision of 9 Homer's Court.
Yeah, that's pretty good. You happy with that, Councillor Grimble?
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Mayor. I think that captures the spirit of the decision.
Okay, someone like to second that, please? I'm happy to second it. So is the motion opposed, or does any councillor wish to speak? Councillor Grimble wishes to speak, so Councillor Grimble.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Mayor, and I appreciate the petition coming through. And these are a little bit difficult, some of these decisions, but I respect the report from our planning people in relation to their recommendation. But I suppose when we have a developer that's put up a proposal and they withdraw it, the question always sticks in my mind about the lost injection and money spent in our town. That's the downside of having potentially a decision that has been reviewed by a developer. It's indifferent to the report that's been provided, but we've still got a vacant land suitable for some form of development, and I do hope that the development of that site is in sync with our neighbourhood character and in sync with the expectations of the people in Homer's Court. So I think this is, as much as it's probably a decision that doesn't lead anywhere, I think the the people who have signed the petition will be reasonably comfortable with the decision made by the developer.
Thank you. Any other speakers? I'll put the Councillor Clark. Yeah. You're on silent, Councillor Clark, can't hear.
Sorry. I'd also like to thank the petitioners for the effort they go to get that petition up. It's important that their petition be heard as well. I think the proposal, I believe, was inappropriate for that court. I had a look at the land, and to have three properties on that small block, I think would have been an overdevelopment. So I'm glad that the, even though I regret the fact that the developer has spent money and time and energy on getting it to that point, I still think it is an overdevelopment for the people living in that court. So I think this is a good outcome.
Okay, thank you. Any other speakers? Okay, I'll put the motion. All those in favour? Against? That's carried. Thank you. We move now to item 13, which is procedural business. And there's a recommendation that Council receive and notes agenda items 13.1, 13.2 and 13.3. Would someone like to move that, please? Should be moved by Councillor Goulburn and seconded by Councillor Clark. I'd like to speak on that. So, Councillor Goulburn, you want to go first? Is there anything you'd like to say?
Thanks, Mr. Mayor. I would actually like to comment on 13.2, just regarding the lease of the Town Hall, the Town Hall Cafe, but the lease of real estate there. I haven't actually been there yet to consume any food at this new...
Do the motion first. Recommendation, sorry.
That's okay. The recommendation, the Council receive and note agenda items 13.1, Assembly of Councillors, Record of Meetings, 13.2, Sealing of Documents, 13.3, Inward Correspondence, and 13.4, Council Committee Minutes. And going back to 13.2, Mr. Mayor, I'm right to hear you speaking.
Yeah, you're right. Yep.
Excellent, thank you. So with that one there, I just want to, I'm just thankful that someone's taken on that premises. I think that's a really good step for our community to have that there. We have got a few cafes, but it's great to have that diversity and a lot more opportunities and things like that for us, for everyone. So especially during COVID, I know I've enjoyed going around to as many eateries as I can. Probably not the best thing for my health, but I've enjoyed it. So,
okay. Thank you, Councillor Goulburn. Councillor Clark? Nothing to say. Any other speakers? I just wanted to pick up on two points. Certainly I do echo those thoughts about the Town Hall Cafe. And so the trick is, Councillor Goulburn, when you visit all the cafes and restaurants, is as long as you walk around, okay, so park the car down at Coghlan Park and walk around, then you can sort of justify it a little bit more. But we met the couple last week, and if you get a chance to obviously go to the restaurant or even just poke your head through the door in the window, it looks great what they've done to the space, and we do wish them all the best from the community. I just wanted to also mention the lovely letter we received from Councillor Mickle at the Shire of Esperance, just basically saying, the people over in the west are thinking about the people in the east, and the letter's there for you to read. I did respond on your behalf, and I just think it's lovely to receive that. It's really nice, so which is good. There's no other speakers. I'll put the recommendation. Councillor Goulburn's moved. All those in favour? Against? That's carried. Thank you. Okay, we move now to item 15. There are confidential items on the agenda for consideration tonight. I now advise that the meeting will close to the public so that we can move into confidential matters. I also advise that when the meeting moves into confidential matters, we will be moving to a different platform. I'll be asking each attendee to confirm that where they are participating from is secure and to ensure that the deliberations are confidential. Can someone now move that the council meeting close to consider confidential matters? Moved by Councillor Goulburn, thank you. Seconded by Councillor Power. All those in favour? Against? That's carried. And we thank those people online tonight for listening, for tuning in, and the meeting will now be closed. Thank you.